All right. Hey, welcome back. This is the I Am Sorry About Last Night podcast, part of the Social Podcast Network, www.socialpodcastnetwork.com. Local folks doing local podcasts. Good morning. July the 9th, 2025. Beautiful day here on the east side of the country. I hope it's great for wherever you are at. It is Wednesday, my day off. Thought I would try to come up and do a podcast. Have not done one in a while because, quite honestly, life's good. Enjoying life, enjoying summer, enjoying the family. Obviously, we just had the 4th of July weekend. Epic. Not a lot of problems. Still going to meetings, you know. Nothing's changed as far as that goes. But, man, it's just, you know, I don't have a lot going on. And it's been really a bit of a struggle to get up here and try to do a podcast about nothing. But, you know, we must press on. And so I thought I would come up and see if we can put something together. Had a great weekend. Family's been down. My kids have been down. My oldest son has been down, which has been fantastic having him around. I absolutely enjoy this age. My oldest son is 19, and, you know, he's just such a good kid. He did share with me that he tried drinking. You know, I guess as an alcoholic or a recovering alcoholic, there's a part of me that hopes that they would never drink. But the reality is they're going to try it. And I've told them before, you know, listen, you're going to try it. You're going to do what you're going to do. I hope you're very careful. Please do not drink and drive. My rules have always been do not drink and drive. And no means no. And, you know, I think if they can follow those two rules, they should have a pretty good chance. But, yeah, he did share with me. And, he said it was kind of fun. I guess he drank with his brother. They went to Florida for a few days, and apparently his brother really threw him back. But, you know, hey, I wasn't upset. I told him, listen, man, as soon as you stop wanting to tell me, right, as soon as you keep it a secret, you know, then we're probably, you know, probably headed for maybe a problem. But, you know, he shared it with me, and I thought it was cool. It's funny, man. I wonder how could we ever, you know, I don't know how I could have gotten to where I've gotten today without using alcohol early on in my life. You know, it's a shame. I've always said, you know, meet as many people, make as many friends in the world. You know, I think I shared in the podcast the other day how they went next door and to introduce themselves, which was a freaking big deal, right? Because it's scary, right? And the voices are telling us not to. And, you know, we try to push through it. But, you know, that's for me where alcohol came in. I hear it all the time. It's part of my story. You know, alcohol allowed me to start fitting in, to being part of something. You know, I watch these. I like to watch a lot of YouTube, and there's these videos about, you know, the kids in the 70s, right? Which is what I was. You know, I was born in 68, so I was definitely growing up in the 70s, and it's pretty fun going down that memory path of the Stingray bike and the Atari and, you know, all the cool shit. At the time, it seemed really cool. Looking back, it was pretty basic stuff, but at the time, it was awesome. And, you know, our worlds were a lot different. We spent a lot of time outside with other kids playing. And but somehow, right, in my story, alcohol would be one of those things that made me fit in. And But I look at kids today, they don't, you know, they socialize through being online or, you know, with their phones and the parents, right? The kids that grew up in the 70s, the wild ones, the ones that had no, you know, adult supervision, the one that did whatever the hell they wanted, are now growing up and raising kids today, and we've become so soft, right? It's so funny how the generation, the wild generation, has become, you know, the generation of concern and worry, and maybe because we experienced it, I don't know, but I can tell you I'm not letting my kids do what we used to do. And it's all under the banner of, like, I care, right? But so, you know, the fact is that it doesn't surprise me, you know, that alcohol may show up in my kid's life because it is sort of that thing that allows us to be part of something, right? Unfortunately. And, but, you know, it's cool. It's all good. Not everybody's an alcoholic. I definitely didn't start off as an alcoholic. I used to have a lot of fun with alcohol. It wasn't till the end that I sort of evolved into this heathen, this barbarian. But, yeah. But, yeah, I just thought I would come up. I went to a meeting the other night. I've been going to a lot of meetings, a lot of great meetings, in fact. But I went to a meeting the other night with one of my sponsees, went to the Monday night meeting, and it was on the seventh step. I love the seventh step. I love the sixth step. I love the seventh step. You know, I love all the steps, but, you know, the seventh step to me is a step that really plays a role in my life really every day.
Possibly the complications, especially at night. I worry over situations. I know we'll be alright. Perhaps it's just an imagination. Day after day. Smell the desperation. At least there's pretty lights. And though there's little variation, it nullifies the night from overkill. Day after day reappears. Night after night, my heartbeat shows the fear.
Network Overkill, a great song. It's so funny. I've heard that song thousands of times over the years and never really listened to the words. And the words got some great meaning. I love that. So went to the meeting. It was on the seventh step. This is the step, and I've shared this before, man. This is the step that my buddy Matt used to say, where we stop stealing the Wawa sugar packets. And that made a lot of sense to me. It's funny, I've talked to so many different people, I've heard people's different versions, even at the meeting that I was at on Monday, you know, different people shared, and there's always this different kind of perspective on this step. Humbly asked him to remove our shortcomings. And, you know, I remember asking a guy, what is a shortcoming? And because I feel like it's sort of the end of a character defect, right? And he actually said that he thought it was the beginning of a character defect. I guess, you know, hey, if you're not addressing it, it could lead you back into a character defect, you know, whatever. But to me, and I'll just share what my thought is on it and my feelings and how I've been able to, due to that kind of thinking, been able to take a different kind of look at it. And when Matt did say that, you know, this is when we stop stealing the Wawa sugar packets. You know, I could relate to that. I've said before I wasn't much of a thief, but I've stolen, right? I have stolen things. I've shoplifted from stores. I remember stealing as a kid. I stole money from my girlfriend's stepfather. I was definitely capable of stealing things. I've stolen time. I've stolen peace of mind. I've not been great. But, you know, I wouldn't consider it a real big problem, right? I remember when I stole money from my girlfriend's stepfather and, you know, there was this, like, hunt for me, you know. The word was out and they were going to get me. And I remember I was just so afraid and full of shame and I felt so bad. And, you know, it was a real learning lesson for me at the time. I must have been 13 or 14 years old. Probably 15, actually, probably 14. But I just remember being so embarrassed and ashamed that, you know, I think that stealing was pretty much removed off of my radar. And it wasn't like I needed the money. There was really, I think it was just that it was money. It was a $100 bill. And for some reason at the time as a kid, you know, money was a lot different back then. And I was just, I felt like, you know, maybe the same way I do today, right? This constant fear of, will I have enough money? I don't know. But for some reason I shoved it in my pocket and I regretted it. And so physically stealing was never a huge deal. But, right, I would fill my pockets with sugar from the Wawa. And I don't think he ever knew that I did that. I'm thinking that he probably did that, and I'm thinking there's a lot of us that do that, whether it's Wawa, 7-Eleven, whatever it is. I remember at the time I was using Equal, and Equal was expensive, and so I would take 5-6 packets of Equal and put them in my pockets once I got my coffee, and put them in my sugar bowl. And was I stealing? Yes. Were they free? Yes. Right. And that's where the big gray zone comes in. And I think, you know, humbly ask him to remove our shortcomings. You know, I think this was the end, right, of a character defect, my early character defect of stealing. You know, I don't know. Maybe if I hadn't really, and I didn't really have a big stealing career, so maybe putting Wawa sugar packets could have begin a new character defect of stealing. I don't know. But the point of it all is that I understood. And, you know, the 6 and 7 step I've shared before, I'm not a step expert. I do not give lectures. This is what I do, this little podcast. And then I just go quietly be sober and go to meetings. But, you know, I've always said the 6th step is really for about my public behavior. And the 7th step is really about my private behavior. And, because, you know, and I've shared the story. I used to, my buddy Matt would call me and he'd say, come pick me up. Let's go to a meeting. And I would drive over there with the window open and the, you know, the hand on the one hand on the wheel and the music up. And I would pull up to his house and, you know, put on my seatbelt and set correctly and 10 and 2 music down. And because I wanted him, Matt, to think that I had my shit together publicly. And, but once he left the car, went back to his house, and I was free to be by myself privately, I would revert back to my old behavior. And, you know, it's real easy to be a good person, you know, for the 1 hour that we go to the meeting, right? I think a lot of us base how people are doing on an hour, right? Oh, this guy looks good for this hour. His life must be good. And maybe it is. And mine, you know, looked good, and it was pretty good. But it's the privately, right? It's the Wawa sugar packets, right? It's the cussing out people in traffic. It's my thought or opinion of a person as I walk away. It's all this private shit that nobody sees or knows about. But unfortunately, it keeps me sick, and it keeps me out of serenity. It keeps me out of the hands of God. It keeps me from holding the hand of God. And because all these thoughts and behaviors are all self. And, you know, and what it says is really publicly I can act like a real good guy, but privately I still have work to do. And so, you know, the whole story of the Wawa sugar packets made sense. And I don't do that anymore. I do not do that anymore. And every time a situation like that comes up, I think about that story from Matt. You know, humbly asked him... I think is the tricky part of the step, right? You know, I've said before, you know, the third step works. I think I did a podcast about the third step a while back. I think I might have done one and not finished. But, you know, my buddy who talked about the third step in the share that he did recently talked about, and I was sharing the same thing, is that, you know, the third step works in everything I do in my life. Coming up to do this podcast, I had to do a third step because there was a voice that was like, you know, I think we're going to quit. That's the battle. That's, you know, I'm not worried about drinking, right? I'm not drugging. I'm not, you know, doing anything bad, but am I having a conscious battle in my head about doing this podcast? Yeah. I enjoy doing the podcast, but there are voices and demons that do not want me to do it. You know, why? Because maybe I will get sick and revert back. I don't know. But, you know, so just the idea of coming up here and doing this podcast is a third step, right? Because if I do this podcast, I will feel better. You know, I know people listen and I appreciate that, but this helps me. It helps me to share, even if it's just to do it, because the voices say don't. And so, you know, using that third step in my life, but, you know, the seventh step is the same kind of thing because, you know, I'm constantly coming up with situations that I can take a different turn or a different attitude. And I am tired of it, right? I get sick, especially, you know, and I shared in the meeting when we talked about the seventh step, is there are things that I, you know, I've shared just recently when I got into that altercation with that guy, I called him a motherfucker. You know, I didn't want to do that. I don't want to be that guy, but I did it. You know, how I respond in traffic, how I respond to clients in certain situations, how I respond to my wife, right? How I respond to a lot of different things. You know, if I'm serene, right, and I'm, you know, working a great program, I'm pretty good. But if I'm not doing a good third step, and if I'm not doing a good seventh step, and I'm not working on those shortcomings, you know, it starts to create pain and worry and fear and self-centered bondage. The bondage of self comes back. And it gets annoying, right? So this is something that I have to make a choice. Really, all the steps are something I have to make a choice. They're all really the third step. You know, we admitted we were powerless over alcohol, that our lives have become unmanageable. Or we didn't, right? That's a third step. Make this decision, take this path, go down this road, and our life, my life, starts to improve. Don't, and my life doesn't, right? I'm still living in the self, right? Turned our will and our lives over to the care of a higher power, right? Or no, a God of our understanding. A decision, right? These are all choices. And so the third step works in my life every day. But, you know, these shortcomings are the things that still keeps me sick. And, you know, I have to have the desire to address it. And, you know, I've talked about it endless times, about things that I can do to prevent these, you know, these character defects, these shortcomings from popping up, right? I'm not stealing. I'm not beating people up. I'm not drinking. I'm not lying. I'm not whatever they are, right? But, you know, I have little moments, whether it's sugar packets or, you know, blowing the horn. you know, I have given up flipping people off. I would definitely flip people off, but, and I don't today, right? Because I don't want to feel bad about it, right? And so I have to think about it. And, you know, I'm slowly chipping away at these shortcomings. But it just takes time, right? And I have to be honest, and I have to be aware of them, and I have to, you know, recognize that it is an issue. But they just don't go away by magic, right? And the worst part is, you know, I can still be like, well, I'm not drinking. Life is good. Right. It is good. But unfortunately, these are the things that start to unwind our foundation of recovery that make us end up being thinking about having a drink again. And it's crazy. And so, you know, the seventh step is to me is one of my favorite steps. It's something that I continuously work on. You know, I was thinking about, I was at work yesterday, and I was sitting in my station chair with my feet up on a bench or on a little stool, and I was looking at my phone, and I was thinking about it last night. I'm like, you know, that's really kind of trashy looking, right? You know, I'm just sitting there. I didn't have a client, so I was just sitting there with my feet up. And for some reason, it hit me last night. I'm like, you know, you can't do that. You got to... If I'm going to sit down, I have to go into the back, right? I just have to present myself a little better. I can do better on that. Is that a shortcoming? Maybe. You know, what could that lead to, right? Next, what am I, got my shoes off? You know, what am I don't know. But, you know, and what does that have to do with drinking? Not a lot. But, you know, these are behaviors that I need to make sure that I don't forget about because, you know, it doesn't look good. If I was owning a salon and somebody was working for me, and was just sitting there with their feet up while everybody else was working, I would be a little bothered. So I need to think about that. I can be better. So yeah, that's just kind of what I've been thinking about. Like I said, man, life is pretty freaking good. I have, I've really been enjoying the benefits of recovery. And, you know, one of the things, the other thing I was thinking about the other day was just this, you know, this peace that I have in my life today. You know, there's chaotic moments, there is inconveniences, but, you know, just the peace, and the freedom of being sober and working a program. And, you know, I have put a lot of work into these character defects and shortcomings, right? And, you know, honestly, I'm really digging to try to find something to talk about. But the fact is that, you know, I have a piece that comes over me today, and it's, you know, it's all due to recovery. And I'm just, you know, really grateful for that. All right, let's see. How's your seventh step, right? The other thing is that I think I may have shared in a podcast recently, but, you know, these steps were kind of a story. And I see over and over people talk about, you know, doing, you know, the first step and the second step and on to the third step, right? And on to the fourth step. You know, this is a, these steps are, they all work in my life on a daily basis, right? You know, every morning I have to wake up and admit that I'm powerless over alcohol, that my life had become unmanageable, right? Every day I have to wake up and remind myself of a relationship with a higher power is only, I only have that as long as self isn't involved. The battle between self and humility, you know, is real. And, you know, every day I have to wake up and remind myself I have to make better choices, and they reflect in my life. And when I make better choices, it reflects in my relationship with a higher power. When I make bad choices, self-centered choices, you know, it really dirties up the water. It makes me separated and ends up being into that bondage of self again. You know, the four steps that continuous are taking that moral inventory. I still have to put a pin in the four step. You know, I've done one. I don't know, you know, my how I react in traffic and how I react with people that, you know, irritate me, like my buddy Jim. You know, maybe I have missed something in the four step that I need to do better. In the fifth step, sort of the same thing. I've sat down and shared all of my darkest secrets with the human being, you know, but still struggle in a few areas, and it gets a little annoying. But then we get into the sixth and seventh step, you know, the character defects, and then the shortcomings, and then, of course, on to the eighth and ninth. So, you know, these steps continuously work in my life. It's not like I've done one and I'm done with that and on to the next. It's a continuous journey, right? And some days I wake up feeling pretty good, and some days I'm just a little bit of a mess. And, you know, I have to get centered, you know, do some meditation, do some prayers. One of the interesting things that I've heard lately is these, the third step prayer and the seventh step prayer, and these people that have memorized them. And I'm like, well, I never memorized them. Maybe that's my problem, right? I remember once somebody told me, never memorize anything, right? Because as soon as you memorize it, then you've succeeded, right? Then you've achieved. Then you, you know, now you're better. You know, my first sponsor used to, he had this, the preambles memorized, and he would say it without reading it. And he was just, I could tell he was just beaming inside. probably not the greatest, but, you know, also I guess we are egotistical people, and I'm sure his ego was like, you know, let's memorize it. We'll be awesome. But, yeah, let's see. Let me read the daily reflections, and we're going to go up and see my dad today and, yeah, hang out, enjoy life. Let's see, daily reflections. I don't know if anybody watched the Ozzy or the Black Sabbath Back to the Beginning concert this weekend. It was streaming, and I think it was down in Alabama. What a freaking, what an epic show. I sort of was like, this is going to be a money grab. Didn't really know what to expect. Didn't even know if it was actually happening. And it did happen, if you were able to see it. What a great performance. I'm still blown away by the Tool performance, man. They freaking tore it up. But a lot of, you know, Steven Tyler was out there. I mean, he sounded fantastic. Just really, really good show. You know, I hate to see Ozzy retire. Loved Ozzy, grew up on Ozzy, and Black Sabbath, and really all those bands. But yeah, great show. If you didn't get a chance, go check it out, man. Tool's performance was just so freaking good. I was blown away. All right, here we go. July 9th, I Am an Instrument. Humbly asked him to remove our shortcomings. How fucking funny is that? How funny is that that I'm talking about the seventh step, and that's today's reading. Interesting. All right. Humbly asked him to remove our shortcomings. The subject of humility is a difficult one. Humility is not thinking less of myself than I ought to. It is acknowledging that I do certain things well. It is accepting the compliment of graciously. Compliment graciously. God can only do for me what he can do through me. Humility is the result of knowing that God is the door, not me. In the light of this awareness, how can I take pride in my accomplishments? I am an instrument, and any work I seem to be doing is being done by God through me. I ask God only on a daily basis to remove my shortcomings in order that I may more freely go about my AA business of love and service. Yeah. I guess. You know, I have to also play a part in some of this stuff, right? You know, some of my shortcomings I've tried to fix through, you know, better planning, right? Leaving early, communication, you know, making lists. You know, there's some of the bit my, unfortunately, some of my character defects and shortcomings come out through inconvenience. You know, I've shared about me taking the kids to school and how that's gone and how I've had to adjust when I leave. You know, I have also got to play a part. It just doesn't, not magic. I'm not sure that that's what the reading's saying, but I don't know. All right. Well, listen, I appreciate it. I'm going to try to get back into the schedule of doing this podcast just because somebody out there doesn't want me to. And, you know, that's a good reason to press on. So I appreciate it. I hope everyone has a great day, and I will catch you later. Bye-bye.